Are we framed, okay, Mr. Frame? Do I need to come over?
Come
on over. Come on over, baby.
I still feel like we're showing too much leg.
Too much crotch?
Too much crotchety crotch. It's distracting for the viewers.
Maybe give them a bit of a PP action this week. Just a couple of guys with a couple of pelvises.
You just sit like this.
Whoa! That is a man's breed. Holy shit.
Rugby!
Oh my god, I think you just impregnated some people in the audience with that man's breed.
Whoops!
Whoa, holy gosh.
Don't ask for child support, I got no money.
That's a lie, you got some. You buy milk sometimes when you come here?
I've been meaning to buy milk the last 2 weeks, genuinely.
That's okay.
I'll bring you some milk.
I don't actually overbought milk today.
Okay, well, thankfully I didn't remember this week.
I was meant to buy milk on the way home last night, but I forgot to. And then on the way home from golf today, I bought milk. And I was trying to call her beforehand.
To say, don't buy milk, I got some. And she bought milk. There you go, doubled up on the milk.
So now we've got 4 litres of milk to get through.
Bro, we go through that in like 2 days.
You guys are milk fiends.
We're fiends.
So my daughter can't have dairy and we only...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, my kids, I don't really give them any... the options would, like, if they want to drink with any kind of mealtime, it's water or milk. So they tend to go for the milk. So they go through a lot of milk.
Are you okay with this pelvis?
It's quite a lot of pelvis.
Over-pelvicked.
Yeah.
Too much pelvis. Oh, you know what we haven't got? Which is a real problem. I can tilt us up a little bit. You play to the crowd for a second. Okay, hold on. This is some quality podcasting we're doing at the moment.
Hey. For you guys listening.
Still there.
I told you.
Have I pushed it further back today or what's the deal? Because we're framed nicely.
Yeah, we're not bad.
We look great.
Well, as good as we can look.
You're in your Chiefs outfit and...
Can I tell you something?
I knew. I always knew and it's okay. I accept you the way you are.
I feel like... Super Rugby.
Oh, I thought you were going to come out of something.
Has finally, like the bug has finally bitten people.
Are you?
This is not particularly related to the notes that I have taken here.
Whoa.
But you brought up the clothes that I'm wearing. This is on my channel. All bloody season.
No one's giving
like,
you
Like I've been wearing, all I've been wearing Hurricanes jerseys. I've been wearing my Crusaders jersey. I've been wearing Blues. Nobody says boo.
It's quite a snazzy.
It's a nice one. It's probably the nicest of the three kind of Super Rugby jackets I've got. In the last, like since Friday through till today, multiple people are yelling out their windows, hey, Chiefs, boo, 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 up
really?
The Blues. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There's been no engagement on the streets. And then within the short space of time, people are yelling stuff at me, which is the way it should be.
You're funny that
way. I shouldn't be allowed to walk down the street.
When you finally start playing games of
that are meaningful.
Some sort of consequence, yes.
Yeah, people get engaged.
Yeah. Take notes, Super Rugby.
Yeah, people are finally engaged now that we've got one game left. One game left.
Meanwhile, the Warriors have had 5 home games.
Sellout.
5 sellouts. And that's a team that's coming 13th out of 19 teams.
I feel like the Warriors, and I got criticized the other day for always bringing up the Warriors.
Well, the Warriors are... You live in Auckland, and the Warriors are a bigger deal than...
Well, there's the more of a... Gotta be there feeling with the Warriors. Like, you actually feel like you're getting an experience you're not going to get. Like, the going to the ground is worth it, whereas a lot of the Super Rugby fans are like, bro, cheaper beers, warm house, no commute. Like, why would I go to the ground?
Yeah,
like,
it's not so
you
much
have
of
to
experience.
Be kind of, you have to be enticed.
Yes,
to get to the ground.
And especially when you go to a game and it's a 50,000 seat stadium and there's 10,000 of you.
Yes.
And there's almost zero atmosphere. You know?
Yeah, I kind of brought up the Warriors because people were asking.
Are we talking about rugby?
Was there a rugby? I don't know what the hell's wrong. Let me just make this one point and then we'll talk some shit.
But then my time codes are going to be
all over the place. But people were asking, where's the crowd for the Blues on Friday?
It was pretty piss poor.
It wasn't great. It was...
I heard your series of excuses.
Yeah, they were excuses. But I think there is some
validity
to it.
The weather was really bad. Like, it was biblical rains that day. And no, it didn't look like it on the coverage. But that day, it was just...
Had been god-awful.
Yeah, it had been. And so even people were like, oh,
I might. If anyone was like 50-50 about going, that would have been the reason not to go.
And that's 10,000-15,000 people.
Probably. And then, literally, there are people who will only go to either the Warriors or the Blues. Yeah. Like, I've been to Blues games when the Warriors have been playing at the same time, and people are like refreshing their phones, like, oh, what's happening with the Warriors? Yeah. Oh, we should have gone to the Warriors. Like, oh, this game sucks. Or, yeah, oh, thank God we didn't go to the Warriors. You know what I mean? Like,
getting pumped.
Yeah, people like
people,
both.
People.
People like both.
People pipe a peck to pepple.
Yeah, we don't have a. I don't know.
I love both games.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do. I'm a big fan of both. And there are a lot of people out there, but then there are a lot of leaguies, people who are league fans, absolutely hate rugby union.
I've noticed.
They hate the game. But now I'm seeing that creeping a lot over to, and I always thought the union fans weren't really like that, but a lot of union fans are like very, very hateful.
Kind of getting a bit anti-league.
Maybe not so much in New Zealand, but in other countries, they seem like, oh, it's a waste. It's a stupid, boring
I think
game.
A lot of them get sick of hearing about it from Australia and New Zealand.
It's really cool. It's just another sport. We could be cricket fans.
I had a comment from a South African. Let me tell you about this. A South African guy who was like, "Oh, I just moved to Sydney. Holy shit, the league's everywhere." It's like people don't get it until you go to Australia. If you still read a newspaper. I remember going to Australia 10 years ago, maybe less. I opened the newspaper and like in New South Wales and Sydney, it was just like league, AFL, and then there was like the Waratahs. Melbourne, it's just AFL. And there was a pictureless,
it's basically
tiny little blurb about the Rebels.
It's like about the size of a classified.
You know, almost like the Rebels took out their own classified ad just to like get their story in the paper.
It's massive. Rugby league, the NRL, is the biggest domestic rugby competition in the world.
I did a video about it.
By a long way.
I did a video about it.
It's
huge.
Yeah. Like
huge.
It supports its own little sports economy over there. It really is. It is. And I've grown up with it my entire life, so it's not weird to me. But if you're a South African who's got zero league presence
you
in that country.
Just dismiss it. But conversely, the International Union universe is bigger than league.
Oh, well, so, much bigger.
Yeah.
It's much bigger.
The two comps, the two kind of codes are flipped as to which one gets more engagement.
NRL is like the NFL, basically. It's like, it's about as big as you can get. And then State of Origin is the jewel of the crown.
That's it. we've been talking about league.
This is, 2 cents gets distracted.
Rugby Union podcast.
And boy, there was Rugby Union.
Semi-finals.
Yeah, yeah.
URC and Super Rugby.
Did any of it give you a semi?
More than a semi round.
Oh, my God. Anything give you the
We're going full Antoine Frisch.
Maybe a full Doris at any stage.
The Doris was a bit of a letdown this
You know
week,
what I got?
Honest.
I got myself a Satiji. Oh, jeez, he's good.
Goodness gracious.
Hey. Oh, a CTT is not even an erection. It's an ejaculating erection.
Where do we go? Do we go URC or do we go Super first?
It's up to you, pal.
We should go URC, seeing as we just started with bloody rugby league chat.
And get the viewers back.
My notes are written in URC order. Okay. URC then.
So
Super
what?
Rugby.
The only one I didn't watch one of them, which was Munster versus Glasgow.
I watched Munster against Glasgow.
Okay, so I thought that was a dead set when we're going to be pretty much in the bag for Munster.
There was a shot on Reddit of one of the screens at Tolman Park, which basically was the advertising. It says Munster v Bulls. Like, get your tickets now.
Seriously.
They make up those graphics prior to the game because at the end of the game, if they win, they want to shove it on the screen and the guys can talk about it. But they showed it. They showed it early.
The old early crow.
Can you imagine if any of the
nothing worse than an early crow.
Imagine if any of the Glasgow players saw that.
Oh, that's you've just given them a team talk. Yeah. Nice work. Yeah. Oh,
I watched that one first because that one was on it. It was on at 5 a.m. Yeah. Whereas Leinster Bulls was on at 2 a.m.
I could gather from that game was very much a red crowd.
Yeah.
Perfect conditions, but Glasgow didn't read the script and just played out of their boots, and
they
were
defensively insanely good.
Even with some cards, they still managed to get up.
Yeah, Munster scored a grand total of, I think, 0 points during the two yellow card periods, and Glasgow scored both their tries.
Tell me,
with a man down.
You've been telling me all year, like Munster. I really like Munster, so I was a little bit disappointed. But you've said that Munster have been playing the house out. Did the occasion
they started
get to them?
The season really slowly, and then they've just been kind of picking up the gears. But they were a bit lackluster in the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
And then they didn't manage to kind of find that top gear, which got them to the top of the log.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like, this is the third URC season we've had in a row that the top qualifying team has not made the final.
Doesn't, yeah, well.
It's bizarre.
Doesn't like, happen in Super Rugby, that's for sure.
No.
Wait,
you're being sarcastic because the Hurricanes didn't make it.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes I watch stuff. When I watch the second time, I'm like, oh, that's what he meant. I'm so slow. I'm so slow.
That's okay. Sometimes there are a few things. And then, although sometimes I see you, I say like a random line or something like that, and I see you like half click it and then just go, no, I can't be bothered going down there.
Let's just keep on going.
Avenue. Yeah.
But Glasgow were defensively immaculate.
Two yellows, was it?
Yeah.
In the game? Ferguson got one.
There was another one. Who was it? It
was before there was half-time. A red card right at the end.
That was for Munster. That was Nankerville.
Which a Kiwi boy.
Yeah. So I was just saying the other week about how, like, isn't it good that it wasn't a Kiwi getting a red card this week in the Premiership final? And then, oh no, the one red card of the weekend. It's a bloody New Zealander.
He was clearing out a rut.
That was a brain explosion. That's like your team's down. You got 5 minutes left. You're trying to make
there was nothing kind of happening. Yeah, it was very much the end of the game. And like, that's
it wasn't like bad tackle technique. It was just dumb.
Is he going to get some sort of ban for it?
Oh yeah, but they've got no games to play anyway.
So when does he pay the fine?
Don't know.
Yeah, come over. You can't play a couple of club rugby games in New Zealand or something.
Yeah.
Is he eligible for Irish selection?
I don't think so.
Yeah, right.
Good player, though.
I've got not much else to say about that game.
Oh, just that Glasgow were defensively pretty imperious, and they made Munster just look like out of ideas. Like, one of Munster's better loose forwards this year has been this guy, Gavin Coombs. He was coming off the bench for this one, but he's like one of their top ball carriers, bust tackles, loves a 5 meter, you know, like pick and go. He came off the bench and just couldn't get anywhere. He had a couple of carries and just they were knocking it on. It was just really lackluster. It was really just
clunky. You
know, a bit like the Canes, which we'll get to later, but they just kind of saved a really average performance for a really big game. So
Yeah. Just didn't turn up. The occasion got to them a little bit.
Like Crowley, the 10, who's been, you know, usually plays pretty well for Munster and Ireland.
It must be hard when like the crowd is there in eager anticipation of, you know,
the Munster crowd's usually really good, but even they were, I think, struggling to find stuff to really get behind the boys
because there wasn't much happening.
No,
which is a shame. It is a shame, but now we've got a final in the Pretoria.
That's right, because the Bulls beat Leinster. You watched that one?
I did watch that one, and it was a great game.
It was great,
a really, really good game to watch.
25-20.
Yeah,
that's with the Bulls with no Kirtley Aronson, with Peterson, no Moody.
That take at the end, he's
unbelievable skills.
Any relation to JP? That guy, they got the same haircut.
I don't know.
They're
both South Africans.
Yeah.
They both play rugby, so surely.
What's the
brothers from another mother?
I'm trying to work.
There's no right way you can say this, so just don't go with it.
They're both African, South African. Well, now South Africans are all Africans.
Yeah,
they're both Africans.
Who's that UFC? The UFC guy?
Francis Ngannou.
He's the one who was going on.
No, Francis Ngannou. What do you mean? Oh,
not the Nigerian guy. He's like the one. He's like, I'm the only African champion.
Yeah, which doesn't sound that great coming from a white guy. No offense.
But he's African.
He is African. He breathes African air and he was born in Africa.
Did I ever tell you about the two Canadian girls I met while I was in China?
Menage a trois.
It was funny, man. I met these two girls. They were both very attractive and we got on like a house on fire. We would often go drinking.
This is dear penthouse playhouse. No.
I remember like not long after I met them.
Were you wearing spandex?
They were just like, because they would go to the gym. They're like, hey, we met another, it's in China, that we met another foreigner at the gym. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you'll never guess. They were like, he's from South Africa, but he's white. And I was like, where's the...
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Where's the punchline here? Like, well, what's the thing? Like, oh, like, yeah, there's lots of South Africans.
But that kind of shows how insulated North America can be about
stuff. They have no idea.
That are happening outside of their little bubble.
Yeah, they have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, Leinster versus the Bulls.
There were some white Africans on the field.
There were some white Africans and some black Africans.
And some Irishmen.
And they were all... Irishmen weren't Africans.
And a Scottish referee.
Oh, yes. And I thought he did a good job.
Go on.
I thought he was fine.
He was letting a lot of stuff go. A lot of both ways. Like
work the shaft.
Gibson Park.
Cradle the ball, swallow the gravy, mate.
Gibson Park got clattered at one point.
Yeah. Okay, look.
McCarthy was getting away with murder, like holding guys in and all kinds of stuff. Like he was like It's just like a game.
All right, before we talk about the ref, can we talk about the game? Okay, because I got some takes.
Okay.
All right, but in terms of the game, the Bulls, their four-pack, scary.
Oh, man, like that, they were getting penalties up against an all-Irish front row. Which
they got a tight head.
Ahead of the, which you never see.
Yeah.
You don't see it against the Irish.
Which I think that one was just one that was kicked forward, but they were good enough to take advantage of
it. That's like ahead of the South Africa Ireland series in a few weeks. That's
a
ominous.
Big statement. That's a big statement. But then we got our ball. Like there was one where they just got dominated early on, and Jamison Gibson Park did a great run down the blind side. They managed to turn around, but they were just dominant. And the breakdown, they were dominant. Yeah, defensively,
that guy Hennekom was unbelievable.
Yeah, defensively, they were just combative as anything. And like, you were just, thinking because they were just winning all the collisions.
They had no Moody and they had no Aronson, so they had to call in that guy Devin Williams, and they had to call in Sergio Pettersson. And Pettersson just comes away with two tries, and both of them like real silky.
Yeah.
So they didn't seem to be missing a beat.
Lovely.
LaRue was finding all kinds of space in the backfield with his kicks.
Oh,
like,
yeah. He got that.
Unbelievable.
He got that 50-22.
And just even when he wasn't getting 50-22s, he would just find the space and put the length of the guys on the back foot. Like you expect James Lowe with that big cannon boot to be the one winning the kicking battle, but nope.
They knew the conditions. They know how to play on the hive out, and they played it to their advantage. So I thought they were far more dominant in the kicking battles.
They won the territory game easily.
And it was almost like the game was pretty tight, but the low try really kicked the Bulls into gear, because then that's when LaRue started those long raking kicks into the corner in the 22, which were, you got 150-22, but it was just putting them in such a difficult position to run their way out of.
Yep.
And the Leinster just didn't have any answers to that physicality, that kicking game. And
when the Bulls spread it wide with pace, man, they had one try chalked off, remember, before Finn started judo tossing Ross Byrne out of the way. But when they spread it wide quick, they just looked dangerous.
Yeah. They looked like
about their game was just really pleasing. The kicking game, the set piece, like everything was just...
And Leinster are a quality team. They stuck in it, and they scored their tries when they needed to, but you always just felt like they weren't going to get there. And I thought the crowd really got in behind it. Got in behind the team.
30,000 people there, which is
and it was like
solid
the whole top tier wasn't full.
Yeah.
But
they didn't sell tickets there.
I like the bottom tier just being chocker.
Yeah,
you know, it felt
it's much better than opening up the whole stadium and having people kind of sparsely. Nice.
Yeah. They created a good little amphitheater sort of feel in there.
What do you think about the fact that it tends to be when Leinster go to South Africa in the regular season, they don't send the big guns? So I think apart from like James Lowe and Jamison Gibson Park, who've been there in Super Rugby, most of those guys would have never played in those kind of high-value conditions.
Yeah.
Do you think that was kind of showed?
It's got to be a factor because your oxygen levels are different.
For sure.
You know, your fatigue is different. The kicking game is different. Your tactics are completely different. And those guys have been playing in those conditions their whole lives.
Exactly.
And it's got to have a massive factor. And it's an intimidating freaking place to play.
Yeah.
Like the South Africans give it to you, go all gun barrels. And it made me actually kind of miss New Zealand teams playing in that environment. You know, like
there's always something about that factor, right?
Yeah,
like, you'd be like ahead by 10 points, and you'd be like, "We got 10 point lead, but we're gonna run out of gas because it's the high value." You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
always a doubt.
And it's one of the biggest challenges in the game, and that's why we still get even though it's in the middle of the night, one of my favorite games to watch in the year is watching the All Blacks play
in South Africa,
particularly on the hive out, because it's as hard as it gets. And when you win, which we usually do when we play over there. It's so satisfying. Look at the record. We usually do.
I think we got a good record at Loftus, but a bad record at Ellis Park.
We got over a 50% record in South Africa in the professional era.
Oh, the professional era. Okay.
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't know, but I'd say so.
Sounds true. Just like most statistics, if you say it convincingly enough.
What do we know about statistics? But it is. It's a heck of a challenge, and like that sort of like cauldron and that animosity and hostility you get from the crowd. It's quite a thing.
Yeah.
It really is. And full credit to the South Africans for
creating that kind of atmosphere.
But can you please leave the song "Zombie" alone? It is the cringiest flippin' thing. I want to say the F word. I'm saying flippin'. Don't sing it. It's not your song. The rest of the world is sitting there going, "You are so cringe. You are, that's just terrible. Don't sing it. Not your song." It's about a deeply upsetting emotional thing for Irish people. Like the Irish people can choose to sing it. Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Okay? Don't sing that song. And please don't sing it with Russie. Russi. Oh, learn about the song.
Was that one grinding your gears?
Oh, I really grinded my gears. But it's exactly what they want. Those bastards, they got me. You may have won this round of Forky Spoony. You bastards.
Mm.
Yes, but oh, them singing that's cringy. And you know what else is cringy? You know what else is grinding my gears? You know.
Can I read you a comment?
Read me a comment.
This is a comment from a South African.
How big is this comment?
It's not too long. From a South African viewer after the game.
Okay, right.
So this guy says, after reading all the comments and hearing some of Wildcard's rant, because Wildcard also had a rant about the referee in this game.
Okay.
He says, I watched the match with Afrikaans commentary and was prepared to witness a refereeing disaster. Well, I agree Sergio Peterson's yellow was very soft, and I remember Vili Leroux being taken out off the ball. But he also got away with a ridiculous forward pass. And there were a few dubious tackles and cleanouts, but it didn't strike me as being overall that far over the top poor. If anything, the referee let the teams play without calling every soft penalty.
I liked it too.
The Bulls were better and might have earned a bit more rub of the green, but Leinster didn't get away with as much as I was prepared to see. In all honesty, it wasn't a brilliant refereeing performance, but I've seen much worse.
I wholly and completely agree with that. He put the whistle in the pocket, which is I kind of like for finals
penalty
games.
Penalty count was low.
I like that for finals games. Yeah, let the boys play, let it go, let it run. But that was, from those commentators, the most disgraceful, biased, bullshit commentary I've ever heard. I'm neutral.
Remember when we heard Northampton against Leinster? That was pretty bad. Where they were like, even the team lines were coming up. They were like, oh, Northampton are going to struggle here. They're going to struggle here. So
that was pretty. Well, okay.
It was only a few weeks ago.
But that was like, that was in that little. It wasn't throughout the game. Every single decision that went against the Bulls, they questioned every single mistake that they made. They pointed to the fact that it was really a Leinster person's fault. Every call that went to Leinster, they said that was an absolute bullshit call. They were just calling everything out as it was happening on the field. They weren't even trying to be impartial in any respect. It was hard to watch. It was the worst I've ever seen. It was so bad. And if you're a South African at home and you're getting that week after week after week after week, no wonder they're so freaking intense on their freaking their anti-goal. You know how they go on about the World Cup final, right? We go on about it. And they always talk about the forward pass to Bodie Barrett and all these comments and stuff. You know, the Bodie Barrett scored the try from Talia that they say it was a knock-on. They said it was a forward pass.
Oh, yep.
In no universe, in zero universes, was that a forward pass. Absolutely. You look at it. Look at it side on. It's not a forward pass. It goes out of the hand backwards. It's not
How
a forward pass.
How do we bend up back on the World Cup final?
I just don't know. But if the fact of you getting commentary that's just reinforcing the wrong bullshit shit constantly, of course you're going to ingest it, and of course you're going to spread it out.
Yeah.
Take a hard look at yourself, those commentators. They should be out of a job. This is your first warning, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm getting schwitzing here. It was so bad. Mark.
I watch some American sports, right? Namely the NHL.
Yeah.
And they, apart from like, some games will be like this is like the game, which is done by like the main NHL commentary team.
Yeah.
Whereas all the other games, because there's so many games, they play a stupid amount of games, are done by the local team's commentary team.
Yeah.
So each team has a commentary crew.
Yeah.
And you can, on ESPN, you can switch between them. So you can literally watch them go, that's fucking bullshit. And then you can like rewind it, switch the commentary, and they're like, that's good as gold.
But
it's good because you know what you're getting.
100%.
Like, you know, like I'm listening to the Buffalo Sabres broadcast. They're going to be talking smack about those guys and they're going to be bigging up everything they do. So at least you know what you're getting.
There used to be Manchester United, Tottenham channels, and all that sort of stuff. And they do the commentary and they'd be like, oh, we're hard done by there.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're like, well, it's that organization.
So you know commentary. What you're getting. Whereas if they're supposed to be calling it down the middle, they should try to call it down the middle.
It was just so far away from down the middle.
Justin Marshall gets a lot of stick for that as well.
He's not. I don't find him.
I don't find him that bad, but a lot of people can't stand him.
But I think it's just his personality and the bumfers and the stuff he comes out with. But he at least tries to like. I've heard him call a lot of things against the All Blacks and a lot of things.
The thing I like about him is when he gets something wrong on the call.
He'll go, I was wrong.
He'll go, wow, I'm sorry. That was like wrong. I've seen the other angle. He did it this weekend
from the. yellow card to Finau.
Yeah. Sometimes you see one angle and you're like, oh, ref, what are you doing? And then you see the other angle like, oh, that's what the ref saw.
Having a cognitive dissonance is a sign of, you know.
Yeah. But some commentators don't do that. They just kind of like oh, maybe it was all right. They don't actually...
Maybe I was wrong there.
Yeah. So then they just kind of leave you with the impression that the referee doesn't know shit. What are
the names of those guys? They were both
Matt
bad.
Pierce was the main one, I think. Matt Pierce is usually pretty good.
Oh, it was just terrible. The color commentator was just like, that's clearly an obstruction. That was, and there'd be like a
Matt
slow-mo.
Pierce was doing the play-by-play. I forget
and
who
I'm
was
pretty,
the color
and like the coverage that you get, boy, they put on the big screen every single slow-mo of a slightly late clean out or a slightly.
Yeah.
And then like.
That's the home field producer.
But they do it pretty intensely, like more so than any other country that I
reckon?
You, the French are quite bad.
Oh, the French, yeah.
The French do it quite a bit.
It's pretty standard.
The Aussies don't do it so much. I don't see it with the Irish and the English and whatnot. They
I feel
just,
like everyone does that one.
You reckon?
Home field production crew, yeah.
I think the French and the South Africans are the worst at it. Yeah, you're not getting off scot-free, France.
How dare you?
There's a Frenchman in the watching. Ah, oh, sacré bleu! Oh, God.
But yeah, the penalty count in that game was really low.
I like a low penalty count.
It's interesting, because I mentioned the NHL earlier. Like, in the NHL, it's kind of accepted that once you get to the playoffs, the referees are going to let shit go. You will literally hear the commentators going, yeah, they would have called that in the regular season, but like, oh, well, they're going to let them play.
And that's same in the NRL and the same in the state of O as
right.
well.
We don't really get that in rugby, though. It's not supposed to be a thing.
I really wish it was.
Yeah.
Like, let them just freaking go buck wild. It's intense. Shit's got to get a bit crazy sometimes. Doesn't it? Doesn't it, Mark?
So that means we're going to get a new URC champion.
Ew.
The Bulls, it's their second final. They made the first year where they lost to the Stormers.
Oh, yeah.
But this time they will be hosting it. That was time they were the away team, and they'll be hosting the Glasgow Warriors.
Who would have picked it? Who would have picked it?
Most people would have picked Leinster. Now, give me your assessment of Leinster, because prior to the URC, I think they won the Pro 14 like 3 or 4 years running.
I think that...
And this is the third year in a row that they've never made a URC final. They've gone in as the favorite every year and never made the final.
They're trying to game the system too much in terms of the multiple competitions.
They play the
champion.
They've made 3 Champions Cup finals in a row and lost them all.
Yeah, and I think what actually is happening is... They're not getting the home field advantage when they need to get it.
I think they had it last season, but the Bulls beat them away. Was it
the
season before? But
if you look at the Irish team and you look at the Leinster team,
might have been Munster beat them last year.
The Irish team looks so more cohesive as a unit. They don't really seem to be able to get themselves out of tricky spots a lot of the time.
They definitely paid the price this season for not.
They obviously got winning records.
Putting a full strength team out for the entire season. So, do you think the coach? With that kind of squad and no silverware for 3 years, does his future with Leinster need to be looked at, or is that a bit of an overreaction? Because 3 Champions Cup finals is like that doesn't sound great, but that's a hard thing to do. Like if there was a coach in the NRL, which is bring it back to rugby league, if there was a coach
this
who made
2 cents gets distracted, it's a league
it's rugby
podcast.
Union, it's a rugby podcast. It doesn't say which code. But if someone made the NRL final 3 years running, lost them all, but if you made the final, because the NRL final is pretty hard to get
yes.
to. If they made the final 3 years in a row, would you still be like, that's a pretty good coach?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. Mm. It's a tough,
because the Champions Cup final is hard to get to.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, the current team, the Penrith Panthers, have won it 3 years in a row.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing. Smokes. But they made 4 finals in a row. The first time they made their final... In this current, what would you call it? Not tyranny. What's the word I'm looking for?
Dynasty.
They with the current crop of players and the coach they had, Nathan Cleary, and all, they lost the final.
Mm.
Really young team, but again, they really
you lose a final to win a final.
But there are so many teams that like coaches that have been with their teams for nigh on a decade or so
and haven't got a final.
Haven't got to a final. Mm. So. I think in the NRL, a lot of it is if you're a team like the Warriors, if you make the top 8, that's a win. That's a successful season. And once you get in the top 8, you just put all your chips in and just try and play balls out and try and push it as far as you can and hope for the fairy tale.
So for Leinster, are we being a bit harsh to say that he needs to go? Because he's.
But no, I don't think you are, because if you also brought it back to an NRL team, it would be like the NRL team that had 11 of 13
Origin players.
Not just Origin, but like international Australian or New Zealand players.
They still couldn't get to a final.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you'd be like, ooh. You know, they've probably got half a dozen, you know, which is good. But yeah, if you had your team, but the thing in Origin, you know, in NRL is they've got a salary cap.
Right.
And they can't do that because they're good players.
The Irish squads, I don't think have a salary cap. Leinster's got a pretty hefty wage bill.
Yeah. So that's one of the best things. They've got a salary cap, so they have to go far and wide, you know?
Who are you picking for the final? The Bulls? Oh,
it's an easy call, isn't it? Well, look, I think if you're Glasgow, you want to hear this, but you give it to Bulls every day of the week at the moment.
Yeah.
But Glasgow
big went time to underdogs. But then like Munster were big time underdogs last year. We had Joseph Duba going, we're going to book them up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you'd think that he's the Bulls
when they showed that thing at Tommen Park with Munster, they were like, did Joseph Duba write that? Like, you know, like trying to inspire their opposition.
Yeah. It's crack but up. I think Glasgow would be licking their lips. Like they'd be going, look, we've just gone in as complete underdogs and we blew them off the park. We don't give a rat's ass. We're just going to put it all out there. You've got nothing to lose. Like they've already overperformed, they can just go out and play freely.
Yeah, less pressure on them, hey.
And maybe the pressure goes to that, but just from the strength of the performance that you saw and the fact that they're playing in the high veld,
it's a tough
place ask. To play. And I think the Bulls showed that they are the goods, man. They are the
hopefully
goods.
For the Roosevelt, because he took a big whack that
game. I enjoyed watching. I don't get to see a lot of him. Johan Gusen. Thought he
pulled the strings well, kicked his goals.
There was a lovely, the first try from the Bulls where they...
There was Gusen's try, yeah.
Yeah, that line he ran was...
Yeah, it was peach. It was James Lowe and somebody else was totally flat-footed. So.
Yeah, and he looked like he's a veteran player.
Yeah, he looked like a young man, but he's probably a veteran, so...
But you could tell he's a veteran because he just played with a lot of composure. Mm-hmm. Never been a Springbok?
He's been a Springbok, but yeah, in and out. Not that many games. He went to France.
Did he?
Long time ago, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant he went to France in the World
Cup.
No,
sorry. He played in France for a few
years.
Where
did I put my glass?
There
aren't many places I can put things here. How did I lose my glass?
You didn't move.
Where did it go? Where?
This is magic.
Do you believe in magic?
This is great viewing.
This is great stuff. Where do I put it? That's outrageous.
Did you find it?
No. Okay, I'm going to have to drink out of the can for the first.
Goodness gracious me.
Only I, this is one of the
without moving, have managed to.
Okay. We can't just spend this whole rest of this podcast
looking for Tony's glass.
Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm going to drink it out of a can. This is weird. I never drink out of.
There was some Super Rugby on.
Still looking.
The Friday game. Blues hosted the Brumbies. I've already made some excuses for the crowd. And that the Warriors played the next day. We had torrential weather. And it was an Aussie opponent, so not many away fans. And it's a Friday night. If it was an afternoon game, it would have been better. Blah, blah,
and,
blah.
And Aucklanders are apathetic as if. As well.
I think the fact that we hammered the Brumbies in the regular season made people think like...
You're just giving more excuses, man. Like, it's a semi-final. We should... That was pathetic. It was disgusting. It was just really...
The weather was really bad, though.
But it wasn't really bad while we were playing.
That's right.
That day it was torrential. Yeah. Like, it didn't
literally
help.
Weather warnings on the news.
Yeah. Don't go on the roads.
Yeah. If you don't have to travel, don't travel.
Only an idiot would go and watch rugby today. That sort of thing. It said that. But yeah, the game itself, boy, we blew him off the park early.
Lamb in 2 minutes, Riccatelli 8 minutes, Derry 14 minutes, Clark 21 minutes, and that time that had like two penalties.
Riccatelli is a workhorse, man. That man just keeps on working. Like, he just doesn't do anything particularly badly, makes the gain line every time he takes the ball, makes his tackles, puts in the hard yards, doesn't do anything wildly dynamic, scores a few tries here and there off the back of the
works. You want to know an interesting fact about him? I just checked that to make sure.
I just want an interesting
He's
fact
South
about
African.
Hey! There you go. There's one.
Born in South Africa.
Well, look at that.
I think he moved here pretty young, but...
Good on him. He sounds very Kiwi-ish. Did he move to Taranaki?
I think so.
Yeah, because he's good mates with the Barrett boys.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is. All right. Yeah, he's a hard bloody worker.
The Brumbies just had like the second, like I saw some people saying that like, oh, the Blues will be big favorites because they had a much easier semi-final. I do think the second half in particular was a proper battle. Arm wrestle. Like,
yeah, total battle.
The Blues had to make a lot of tackles. There was only one try apiece in the second half. Like if the Brumbies had played like that so in the get first to... 20 minutes, it could have been a much better game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like not a spectacular game because...
Well, I mean, the Blues tries were nice. Like the first one, the Hans Tutu pops it over.
Yeah,
and
that was lovely.
Tip pass from Plummer like to AJ Lamb. That was great.
Caleb scored a nice try.
Caleb scored one out wide.
I even liked the try that was a bit unconventional, but the try that Satutu got in the second half where it got ripped out and then it popped
up
into his
Tom
hand.
Wright ripped it out and he just kind of grabbed it. But that was just a pressure in it.
Yeah, yeah, they were nice tries. I thought that the Brumbies did well not just to completely throw the... throw it away completely. They stayed in the game and they still had like a couple of quick tries in the second half. They could have been back in it.
Yeah, that's right. They were one try away from making it interesting because we beat them by 14 points. It was 34-20. If they had scored at any time in the final 10, then you really squeaky bum time. It could go to golden point kind of thing.
Absolutely. And we were just, and you, and as a supporting fan, you're like,
yeah. Just hold the, like a 2-goal lead, right?
Just keep it, just.
We don't want it going down to the wire. It would have been great, better for the spectacle.
Oh, absolutely. But we're not interested in the spectacle as fans.
No. I've just dripped some beer on my pants.
Oh, no. You got
at least I didn't lose my glass.
How did I do this? Can somebody see where I put it?
He's not been anywhere. You have to go back. You need to go back and look at the footage and see what you did.
Oh, it's here. Oh, I put it on the chair next.
That's not where it belongs.
Yeah, I feel foolish.
Unsolved mysteries.
All right, I got it sorted.
Papali'i went off with an HIA, but I think he's all good.
All right?
I think he's all good. He said that he failed the HIA. But it was like his own fault or something. Like, do they ask him like a math question?
Yeah, I think
it's
really.
He just got it wrong, like, because his maths is crap instead of like the fact that he's got brain injury.
Yeah, yeah. What's 6 + 18? 28. You know, like
the pressure got to me.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
So maybe that's it.
Spell school. SKOOL. I think they had. It's something that they get tested on in the beginning of the season that sort of around their intellect that they should find relatively easy.
This is where you're at.
Yeah, exactly. And if they can't do that, then...
then they've failed.
And you've failed.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Well, apparently he's going to be all good. He reckons he's all good for the final. So I hope so, because he made a lot of tackles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's... boy, there's so many big, bad ball carriers in the Blues.
We lost to the Crusaders. I think he wasn't playing, and I felt like we missed him. We had Choate that game, and he's just...
yeah,
not,
I don't... Choate's not quite there
he's
for
not
me.
Quite, he's not quite Dalton Papali'i.
Derry, I like the look of him.
Sam Derry?
Yeah, he looks okay. He looks pretty good. And that's a bit of a position as an All Black fan that we're a little thin.
A little bit thin on depth thin with Paddy out.
Paddy out.
And Sam Whitelock gone and Brady Retallick gone.
So, yeah, we need a... was it Finau? Is he putting his hand up?
More for number 6, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's another number 5 for the Chiefs.
Vati or Akoi or someone like that. Josh Lord's injured, so, yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, we're thin, eh? We're going to have to blood some boys.
Yeah, a little bit. The second game was potentially the more interesting of the semifinals.
Just before you say, I just want to say, like, it's amazing that the Blues have always been a team that has just relied on their fancy backs and their...
and this year, they're a team with a bunch of big bastards up front.
Yeah, big bastards up front. Score, like, are ruthless when they get inside the 22.
Yep.
Will pick and drive you to death.
Yep.
And dominate you in the collision up front. It's like just... and but then they still retain...
they still retain the ability to hit you out wide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just with a, you know... a savvy veteran like a Plummer just directing around the park, putting those big bodies and big ball carriers in
his
positions.
He's not doing like Bowden Barrett 2015, you know, like line breaks and stuff.
But he knows his game.
He's pulling the strings.
Really similar to Hjulsson. Hjulsson?
Hjulsson.
Hjulsson.
Hjulsson, I think.
Hjulsson?
I think so.
Johan Hjulsson.
Work on your Afrikaans.
Hjulsson. Course, can you explain something to me? Rian Lowe, friend of the channel, friend of the podcast, Why? He's a Lions fan, right?
He's from Joburg.
What was going on? Did he have something to do with the Bulls this week? He was his profile was a bull. He had a bull ring through his nose and bull ears, bull horns. Sorry,
I missed this.
Johan. Rian, if you're watching, can you explain what the bull? Did you have like a sponsorship deal with the Bulls? Were you hosting a Bulls event? A
provincial thing, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Fill me in, Rian. Anyway, next game.
Hurricanes hosted the Chiefs.
Ooh, baby.
I was supporting the Chiefs because I wanted a home final for the Blues. Me too. Get in there.
There we go. Premature handshake there.
Good on you, Chiefs.
Thanks for doing that. Appreciate 30 it.
30 points to 19.
Don't have to go down to the Caketon.
And windy ass.
Yeah.
And the kicks they were doing were low.
Came out.
When they would go airborne, they would be like, whoa, and pulling some freaky angles.
Yeah, but you think that the
Canes should be more used to that. That should be like the Pretoria advantage. It's conditions.
But the Chiefs are really finding their feet at the right time of the year. Yeah. They just came out like a shot out of a rocket, basically. Mm-hmm. And
they blitzed the Reds.
Their big boys were carrying, you know, incredibly hard as well. Satiti is just insane. My goodness. He is. Yeah, I thought Finau played it particularly well. Mm-hmm. I thought Nadawa. Oh, that try that he set up.
Slippery as an eel.
Or steps Perinara.
Like him and Peterson this week, like on the wings, were both just gorgeous.
He was.
And made Perinara look stupid. Jordy Barrett looks stupid.
Good defenders there. And it took the air out of the crowd like that. Yeah. And then
Finau's hand to bring the freaking thing down.
I thought
the pass
was a touch suspect, to be honest.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, well, we let that go in Super Rugby.
We let that go in finals football. Finals football.
Yeah, 3-minute try to Finau, 6-minute try to Ratsuma from the kind of charge down where the guys would have been offside, but because there was a hand to it, they're not in offside position.
Canes look a bit shell shocked after that.
He did, yeah. Didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
And then Finau got himself yellow carded for a head on head with the TJ.
Perinara, yeah.
He might have been a bit lucky with that one, to be honest.
Do you reckon? It's got to be.
One angle looked fine, the next angle looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, there was one. Listen, back to the Bulls game. Gosh. He got it. It looked like a clothes hanger.
Yeah.
And it literally just tapped. That's all he touched. And he was down. No shit. The freaking physio had smelling salts.
Yeah.
And the commentators were talking about were ready to get the chalk out and write
I don't think it was that bad.
It was a high tackle.
Yeah, so
it looked bad, but it looked like just the way he fell. But it
just got him on the shoulder.
Just got him on the shoulder, and he's down there like he's been freaking shot.
I called it a seatbelt, but someone was like, "No, it's a clothesline." I was like, "Clothesline is when you get someone around the throat."
Yeah, and around the neck, and then like. It was one of the great crimes of the 21st century, according to the commentators. My God. Have I mentioned I thought those commentators were shite?
I think so.
Okay, back to the Chiefs and the... Chiefs and the Canes. Chiefs, man. Boy, oh boy. There are some intense attacking threats. What have we got? The chances of getting Shooter back? He was a late withdrawal at the...
I think he'll be back. I think he withdrew himself because he knew he wasn't quite 100%.
Yeah,
so fingers crossed he's back for the finals.
That'll
one of the best players out there.
Yeah, it'll be scary. Nadawa looks really good.
D-Mac's boot was particularly good in the wind.
That kick that he got at the end was
It was
massive.
Like, oh, he's shanked the Udo.
Yeah, I know.
Good.
I thought he pulled it.
Yeah.
And then it just kept on.
Bend back in the
and
wind.
And then I was like, I was watching a slightly delayed, and I was like semi-fast-forwarding it because I saw the going in the wrong direction. And then I went ahead, and I was like, score went up by 3 points. That missed. And then I went back and was like, how did that sneak
exactly.
over? Like, that's a hell of a kick in those conditions.
He's playing some rugby.
Rugby.
The Canes did get 3 tries. Luckily, I got one where Tokiaho was just flat-footed because he was injured.
Did he do an ACL? He's gone.
I think he's gone, yeah.
So that sucks.
That sucks for the final.
And that sucks for the
All Blacks. Slater went off as well. They ended up with it was Pohipi, I think, throwing in.
And then they got Golden Oldies and had to take a player off as well.
Yeah, so... Hopefully the Chiefs have at least got Slater back for the final.
Yeah.
I don't know what his long-term prognosis is, but...
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But
Jacobson got yellow carded for a hit on Jordy Barrett.
Yeah, it was just a late hit, wasn't it?
It was late, but it wasn't even... I timed it. It's a second.
Yeah, right.
It's 1 second.
And it was not high, but it was
human reaction time.
It wasn't high, but it was literally high-ish.
It was high-ish, and it was powerful.
Yeah.
But I checked, like, what is a human reaction time? It's a quarter of a second.
Yeah, right.
So if you take the fact that by the time he's visually confirmed that he has passed it,
yeah,
you've got 3/4 of a second to pull out of the tackle. I don't think that's enough.
No.
So I think it's harsh to say he's... I mean, in slow motion, it looks like, oh, he's hit him miles late.
Pulling out is always tough.
Yeah, pulling out is tough. Nobody wants to do that.
No, doesn't feel wild natural.
Wild stallions couldn't pull me out of that situation. That's a quote from somebody. Yeah. Or it's a poor quote from somebody.
Wild Stallions was also the name of...
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah. Party Time Excellent.
I like the first one. It's a pretty good movie. Second one's not bad, but...
Bogus Journey. So there was Excellent Adventure and then Bogus Journey when they go through...
I haven't seen the new one.
I have.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's very much like a, you know...
tongue-in-cheek kind of
point. Throwback to something. But...
Excellent Adventure.
Ted is actually way better than Bill in this. Right. Because they're both like very... Oh yeah, Bill. Like in the first two, they both do their parts really, really well. Yeah. But it's like Keanu Reeves has totally forgotten how to do it.
Right.
But Ted, is...
Well, he hasn't had any other acting jobs in the meantime, so he's just kind of honed it in.
Yeah, Ted's really good. He holds that movie up.
He doesn't know if he's supposed to be John Wick or if he's
Neo. Yeah. And then,
Yeah.
Good well, times. Bill Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan?
Something like that.
Is that their names?
I thought the Jacobson and Yellow Card was bullshit, though. That was bullshit. It wasn't even late. He just hit him hard.
But what about Bill and Ted?
Do you remember that time when Dan Carter got tackled by Bismarck Duplessis and got carded for
it? Oh, yeah. He got a red for that, didn't he? Yeah. It was the second yellow.
And
it was
I think so. And it was just like, it was like a touch late, but it's like he's...
Yeah, that was a bullshit call. Yeah, that one, I remember.
That was awful. So yeah. You can't tackle Geordie Barrett.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
Not allowed to.
He's going to Leinster, so...
Yeah, maybe he can bring some... He's not going to play for any trophies, though, is he?
No, apparently not. 30,000 fans in that game. Proctor got one late.
Yeah, it's a nice try. Mm. Is he putting his hand up for AB selection? So.
He's played really well this season.
He has. So the Canes have looked great all season and saved a pretty average performance.
Yeah, they dropped so much ball. It was pissing me off.
Yeah. Like, I don't think Perenara didn't play his greatest game.
No, that's right.
He was shown up by...
He had a face-on-face tackle as well, which they didn't look at. Angus Gardner was like, nah, sorry, it's fine. So they never looked at it.
Yeah. Maybe we're getting into that stage of...
But like, he also said that for the Finau, and he's like, nah, it's fine. And then they looked at it like, oh, hold on a minute.
Oh, wait a second. We've got to not sip at the same time. Because
I was just thinking that leaves
a long pause. We'll do it again.
Awkward pause.
We'll do it again. So look how long this is, guys.
But yeah.
Normal kind of stuff.
You going to go to the final?
Thinking about it.
I'm going to go.
Good for you. I might go. I think I'm going
to
go.
I haven't been to any Super Rugby games this year.
Playing golf that day.
God's sake, Union Golf.
Play golf today.
You're
a bit what?
What were you going to say? Going to get yourself cancelled. It's a bit bad because I haven't been to any games this year. But
I haven't been to any either.
I kind of feel the need to watch all the games.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, going to the games makes watching the other games a lot harder.
Mate, you're a man of excuses this week.
I know.
You've got so many of them.
But if I'd gone
to... going this week and you're doing something I wouldn't do. You're taking a six-year-old to the bloody game.
Yeah, I'm going to take all the family.
Yeah. My
son wants to go, but I also want to have a little tutu around with the camera, so I can't be like, son, just stay here by yourself with these other 50,000 people, and I'll go film for a bit.
Yeah, right.
So I've got to take my wife. I've got to take my daughter. I've promised her some hot chips because she's not keen to go.
What, the wife or the daughter?
Both of them. No, my wife doesn't mind going. Yeah, my daughter's not keen at all. I was like, do you want to go to the rugby? She's like, no.
Yeah, that's exactly the same as when I asked my partner to go to the rugby. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah. But I'll go. I went to the last time we hosted a Super Rugby final. It didn't go that well.
Yes. And you did a video straight afterwards.
I did.
I'll try and find you afterwards. I'll
come on for a match review if the music's not blaring.
Yeah. That'll get views.
Oh, yes.
Me popping in. And wild celebration. Or
Wild Stallions.
Indeed. Yeah, should be good though. Looking forward to it.
Tickets now, go on sale Tuesday. Probably by the time this video's up, tickets are already on sale. Get them while tickets, Aucklanders.
Yeah, get them while they're hot. Hopefully you can get a decent crowd.
But I think it should sell out. I mean, Chiefs fans come up the highway.
Yeah, right. I'm playing golf in the Waikato, so I'm worried that I'm going to be stuck down there getting back up.
You could just...
By the way, he's wearing a Chiefs outfit. I'm wearing a blue blazer to represent the final. Who's going to win it, mate? Who's going to win the game?
I honestly think it's 50-50.
She is a 50-50.
I think the Chiefs are in that just peak form that they look like they could beat anybody. They look like they will be anybody. And then the Blues are at home, so they've got to have that natural kind of home advantage. The bookies have got the Blues easily.
These guys only played a fortnight ago.
Yeah, I know, and the Blues flogged them. But the Chiefs were in a bit of a rut right before the playoffs.
Mm.
They scraped past the Rebels, and then we were like, well, maybe the Reds are going to give them a hard time. No.
No, not at all.
So
they've got all the confidence in the world. Yeah. They love to stick it up the Jaffers.
And you feel like the Blues have just got a bit of a mental frailty. I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs lost the final last year.
They're such a different team this year.
Yeah,
and I just think, the brand that they're playing with, that upfront physical domination and, you know, and then the speed when they need it, is a really hard brand of rugby to beat, especially in finals. So if they can win the battle up front, and if they can like be ruthless as they have been, maybe it's not the most exciting type of rugby, all the pick and go tries and whatnot, but hey, we'll take it in a final.
Mm.
Hopefully it's a great final, but we'll see.
I hope we win.
I hope we win too. We'll be here next week. You can see us happy or sad. But you know what? We're all kind of happy because it ain't going to be the Crusaders.
This is true.
Yeah.
Amazing. Screw those guys.
Damn Crusaders. Yeah, but this is 2 years in a row for the Chiefs. Actually, this is...
They lost last year, so maybe this is the...
Maybe this is their year.
A lot of teams, you know, they lose that first one.
We lost the year before.
We did.
To the same team that they lost to last year.
We've all been burned by the Crusaders at some point.
And now it's just Battle of the Bombays. The real power of New Zealand rugby is in the north, clearly. Now I'm giving it to my own countrymen. I give it to everybody.
He gives it to everybody, evenly. He's giving it to the French. He's giving it to South Africans. He's giving it to South Islanders. Who else do you want to give it? Aussies?
Back to those commentators. Yeah, God, they were terrible. Out of these players, who's been cut from the All Blacks squad and who's making it? Okay. Lakai, Yoshe, Satiti, Satutu. Mm. We were talking about him. He's captain of the Blues.
Papali'i.
Who else am I thinking of that I've been looking at playing very, very well of late? Finau.
Mm. I think Finau's a shoo-in.
Okay, because he can play lock.
And he can play six.
Yeah.
I think he's the front runner for the number six jersey at the moment.
And then Ioane.
Akira.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that he's going to Japan, I think rules him out.
Sam Kane's not going to make it.
I mean, you got an interesting one in that Yose, Satutu, and Satiti all play number eight.
Yes.
So,
and they're eight all
really good.
Yose's been playing outrageously.
He's outrageously quick and powerful. Satiti's outrageously quick and powerful. And Satutu, he's got an outrageous passing game on him for a loose forward.
He's got an incredible skill set.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's powerful as F.
So, I mean, Satutu's extended his contract, so he's gunning for the All Blacks.
What we're lacking a little bit is a jackler. So, who's...
Dalton.
He's your guy?
Lakai? Well, I mean, you could have a back row of Finau, Ardy, and Satutu.
So, four of them... you pick four, drop three.
So, Finau at six, Ardy at seven, Satutu at
eight. Sorry, I didn't even say Ardy Sevilla.
Exactly.
Sorry,
Ardy Sevilla. Satutu, eight, Ardy seven, Finau six...
And then who are your reserves?
And then Dalton on the bench.
And cutting all the rest of that talent.
One of the other guys in the squad, have a look at him. Maybe Satiti. Yeah.
Really? Over Yoise? Yose.
Flip a coin with those guys. They're both bloody good.
Yose's had a bit of season. Satiti just was
I'd need to see the stats.
The stats. Show me the stats.
I want to see the stats.
Satiti was just
whoever's got the better stats between Satiti and Yose, you pick that guy.
I also like saying Satiti and Satutu.
I would love to see at the same time Satutu come off and Satiti replace him.
Satiti.
But I'm also the guy who loved it when like the All Blacks had like Aaron Smith, Conrad Smith, and Ben Smith in the same team. I just love it. Smith to Smith. After Smith.
Smith's got the pace. What a power run for Smith.
Names are cool. We've also got three Barretts in the team at times.
Three Barretts, three Smiths. Is there really any another
Partridge in the pear tree?
Yeah, yeah. There's only like three last names in the whole of the All Black squad.
Basically. That's what we're all inbred as.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Tasmania.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's... Do you think we got problems just by too many riches at
I think most of the sides, the top sides, have got a rich of talent in the back row.
Okay.
I mean, Australia's got good back rowers. Georgia has got good back rowers. You know what I mean? Like, everyone seems to have good back rowers.
It's a glamour position, almost.
Yeah, it's like a position that doesn't seem to be as... I mean, it takes a lot to get to, like, the top, like, Aldrete or Savia kind of level, or Dutoy or whatever, but... there seems to be just be an abundance of those guys and those guys. Like, whereas you like top tight head props is a lot more. I feel like it's a smaller group.
If you're a big athletic man, that's where you want to play.
Yeah, basically, if you're big and you're maybe not quite quick enough to be in the backs, but you're powerful and you love a hit,
and you're not a big fatty who just wants to pack the scrums.
Yeah, so I feel like with that
and
body
and you're not lanky as if
it's generic enough that there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Number nine. So, Funaki, Finlay, Perenara, Cortez Ratama. Pick two, drop two.
I think you've got to have TJ as the kind of experienced guy there.
Yeah. We didn't say...
I wish Roygaard was there. We didn't pick Fakatava either.
Yeah. Okay, Fakatava as well. Fakatava, it's not.
Fakatava started the season really well with he's the Highlanders. He's a good player, very good player. I don't know if he's done that much in the latter period of the season.
Massive hole to fix with your man Smith. Everyone loves Smith being gone.
Going and Roygaard being injured.
Yeah. Two premiers.
Mm.
Although Finlay Christie was the second choice. He played pretty well on the weekend.
Yeah, I think he did. So like, maybe TJ, Finlay, and Cortez.
Cortez Ratama is your third choice who's just in the squad.
Yep.
Funaki not there for you.
He's kind of, he needs to do it another season.
Okay. Outside backs.
Oh, for goodness sake. You're going to pick the entire All Blacks squad? No. No, save something for next week after the final.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
All Blacks squad's getting named on the 24th. Some of the squad's already out. The Fijian squad's out. The Scottish squad is out.
Yep.
We can talk more about the kind of upcoming June and July fixtures next week.
Exciting.
Good and talk some shit. Like, we missed out on a bit of shit talk. So, have you been watching the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs?
I watched the US Open today.
That's golf, so that sucks. So,
that was Bryson DeChambeau.
The NHL, you got the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep. Gretzky's old team.
Wayne Gretzky's old team with.
Before he went to the LA Kings.
With the. Basically, the Antoine DuPont of the hockey world playing for them, and Connor McDavid. They call him Connor McJesus because he's just that.
He's that good.
He recently broke one of Wayne Gretzky's.
Can you smell my feet?
Nah. He recently broke one of Wayne Gretzky's records.
Wow.
For like playoffs. Like, if you're breaking Wayne Gretzky's records, you're pretty good.
You know what Wayne Gretzky's famous saying was?
Every goal you don't shoot, every shot you don't take is a miss or something like that.
Almost. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
There you go. I knew that was a Wayne, the great one.
It makes no statistical sense.
But that's a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They haven't won a Stanley Cup since like 1996 from teams from Canada. They play the Florida Panthers. Florida, not traditionally known for its ice sports, funnily enough.
Because it's hot as F.
But Florida went 3-0 up in the best of seven series.
Like over the Oilers?
Over the Oilers. Like
in the even first, with Jesus playing for them.
Even with Jesus playing for the first game, like their goalie just was stopping everything. Like the Oilers had like almost three times the shots.
Oh.
Just couldn't get shit. The goalie was just saving everything for the Panthers. It was a wall. So they went into the fourth game. The Oilers are like, they've lost like the first one, like 2-1. Then they lost like 3-1 or 4-1. They've been just playing shit. They couldn't score. Right. And then the fourth game, do or die. If they lose us, they're out. They won it 8-1. The Oilers won. So they're still alive. But they're probably fucked. Because
they're also...
I think in the history of the Stanley Cup, only one team has ever come back. I'm sorry about the swearing.
How am I going to find
that one? Right. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
There's only been one team in the history of the NHL who's come back from 3-0 to win the Stanley Cup. It just doesn't happen.
It happened in the... Because they were also...
The NBA also had a... The Celtics lost, right?
Yeah, but there was a 3-0 comeback from someone. Did Boston beat, and also in the baseball, when they eventually won their first ever World Series after the curse of the Bambino was finally extinguished? Yeah, they came down from 3-0.
Okay.
I think there was one in the last decade in the NBA as well.
It happens, but not very often.
It's bloody hard to do.
Some fans have been saying that Florida lost on purpose. Because obviously the Florida's like the team with the better record. So they get game 1 and 2 at home.
Yeah.
The Oilers get 3 and 4. And the Floridas get 5. So they're like, well, they didn't want to win game 4 because they want to win at home.
I think that's some tinfoil hat shit.
That's dumb as dog shit.
Obviously, it's nice to win at home, but
they flew their families up to Edmonton to watch. Nobody goes to Edmonton
for fun. Yeah. That's right.
They didn't go to Edmonton to watch them lose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it reminds me, you ever watched The Last Dance?
I have seen The Last Dance.
When they were
took
playing
it personally.
They were playing the Blues were playing the final series against Phoenix while Charles Barkley was playing for them. And they were up, and the Bulls, they had won a few before, and they notoriously had like riots and like craziness in the cities where shop fronts had been like smashed and all sorts of thing. So before the front of the whole city, like everyone just boarded up all their doors and windows and stuff like that, just preparing for like the riots and whatnot that was going to eventually happen. And that pissed off Charles Barkley. He was like, you haven't won yet. And then there was 3-1, and then they won to take it a 3-2. And Charles Barkley in the press conference was like, you can take all that stupid shit off your doors now. Like,
nice.
No riots for you tonight. You know?
Nice. Yeah. I don't remember that. But that's there's quite a few episodes in that series.
It's great.
Watch. I love a sports documentary.
Probably the best sports documentary ever made, that one.
It's very good.
Absolutely.
Michael Jordan's a really interesting guy.
He really is. I tried to watch the Razor documentary the other night.
Yeah, I watched the first episode.
It was tough, man. It's a tough watch. It was just kind of nothing. It's just a talking head.
He likes talking to the public on the beach and says, show me your moves.
Yeah, but I'm not saying he was boring, but I'm just saying that the whole production was just a little naff. Didn't really feel particularly interesting. Like, he's an interesting cat, you know, but he's...
They're putting a lot of focus on Razor here in New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
he's like basically been seen as the messiah.
Yeah, although they've uploaded that onto YouTube, and half the comments were South Africans going, "This is no chasing the sun."
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man!
Just get over it. You made a documentary. Congratulations, parents.
A lot of my comments on YouTube, to be fair, about Super Rugby stuff is like, "Super Rugby sucks." Now the South African teams are gone.
No, just shut up. Just shut up. Some of you, lovely people.
South Africa are doing really well in the URC. I do think it works better.
What, for them?
We were talking about this just a little bit
they've
before.
They've got a 12-month cycle around their...
The time zones just work so much better.
For them, yeah. But their seasons are so bloody long now.
Yeah, it's hard for their guys to get a full off-season because they're playing rugby right now as the Northern Hemisphere comes into summer.
Yeah.
Which is when, you know, the Rugby Championship's not too far away.
Whereas our All Blacks come home.
They've only just.
They come home after November and they're like, I ain't doing shit.
Yeah, we're doing the Bronco in a few weeks.
Yeah. I'm going to do the Bronco.
We'll do some preseason.
Late. So they get all of December off.
Mm.
And
the All Blacks guys get longer, but, you know, obviously the Super Rugby
most
guys.
Most of January off.
Yeah. They get a summer off.
Yeah, that's nice.
Which the URC is going through because it's northern winter, so.
Yeah,
but the time zone thing's working really well for them. And the fact that South Africa's hosting 3 URC finals in a row.
It's pretty good.
Like, how many Super Rugby finals did they host?
Yeah, Not that many. I really wish that we were still playing games in those venues, our Super Rugby teams. Because it's such a test.
For sure.
And I'd love to see how this Blues team would go against the Bulls
the
right
Stormers
now.
Or someone like that.
Yeah,
right?
Because they've got such a forward dominant sort of focus right now. It would be great to see how that would hold up against, you know, the guys who are the best in the world at it, you know?
Yeah.
That style of play. Yeah. Well, I guess it leaves a little bit more allure and it becomes a little bit more mysterious and enigmatic, the actual when it comes to the crunch when we play them, although we play them so often. How many times are you playing them this year? Twice or three times?
I think twice.
And none in New Zealand?
No, not in New Zealand. Only over there.
That sucks. Well, I love, we were just saying we love it when they play.
You were going to talk some golf. Go on.
Bryson DeChambeau.
I don't know who that is.
He's also a YouTuber.
Okay.
He's like a big time YouTuber.
Does he have more subscribers than you?
Yes, and you.
Both of us combined?
Yes.
Okay. Even with 2 cents on tour? The extra 3,000 subscribers that I got there?
Yeah, 3,000 subscribers, not bad.
Bro, man. That video that I told you went viral on Chinese social media has over 11,000 likes on it. It means it's been viewed like it must be 200,000 times. It's not even my video anymore.
Yeah,
they stole it. They did better than any of my videos ever. I've never had a video.
Even the snack video that had terrible audio?
I've never had a video get anywhere near 11,000 likes, and I've been doing this for years. They steal one of my videos, and it's going gangbusters.
Bryson DeChambeau won. He bet Rory McIlroy today. Rory McIlroy managed to get a 2-shot lead with maybe going into the final nine. Bryson DeChambeau had been the man to beat all year round. Bit of a retribution story of him coming back from being one of the most hated men in golf to being one of the most. Because he was just a bit weird, and he was known as the scientist and took a really scientific approach to thing, and he's like just a kind of a geeky dude, and they kind of ganged up on him and hated him. But then he started his YouTube channel and people kind of really like him now. Mm. Kind of used the YouTube thing to his advantage in a way as well.
Nice.
And Rory McIlroy hasn't won a major for 10 years.
Got divorced.
Yeah, so it was a massive... And then he missed a 4-foot putt. A 4-foot putt to push it to a playoff. Like if he gets it, it goes to a playoff.
He missed it.
And he missed it. And 4-foot putt is, you could get a 4-foot putt and you've never played golf. But you would miss a lot of 4-foot putts, but you'd get maybe 5 of 10 of them.
Right.
You know, but a professional golfer gets, you know.
Just like missing the kick straight up front.
Yeah. Well, golf, it's a very small little target.
In the wind then.
Right. Yeah.
In the wind.
Yeah. It's tough. Like okay. you can't even when you do it right in front, if you kind of go to the right or you're still going to go through the post if it's right in front.
Okay.
But yeah, considering the size of the ball and the size of the hole, like you still got to hit it in the right direction. And those goals are notoriously difficult. And he missed 2 5-footers or 4-footers in the final 3 holes after not missing like anything over 6 foot for the entirety of the tournament, which goes for 3 days.
Hmm.
So he kind of choked in the moment. And Bryson DeChambeau, after driving badly all day into a lot of the native stuff, into a lot of the rough, just his long game was just exceptional, and he managed to get it done. Yeah. There you go, a little golf update for everybody.
Nice.
Bryson DeChambeau.
I think I'll take league over golf.
What are we going to talk about next? Tennis? Are we going to need tennis chat? Snooker? Pool? Darts? Don't matter.
The Euros are on.
Yeah, England beat Serbia. Yeah. And that's...
Germany beat Scotland.
Yes. Mineshaft. Manshaft. Yeah.
I haven't really been following it.
Oh, well. I'll watch a bit of it. Should be. It's a lot of it's on TVNZ Plus.
Yeah, which is surprising because that's free to air in New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mark. Well, we've talked about rugby. We've talked about as much nonsense we can talk about, possibly.
I look forward to reading angry comments in the section about why Tony's dumb as dog shit, the ref was awful, and the commentary team was fantastic.
They were the best commentary team ever. Love you, South Africa. I genuinely do. Don't love those commentators, though. Boy, oh boy. Wearing blue for the Blue Bulls as well.
Real big fan.
Real big fan.
Blues and Bulls to get it done this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. All right, well done, Mark.
Thank you. Very good.
Ha-da-da.